Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Welcome to Sincerely Sloan, presented by Uninterrupted. I'm your host, professional tennis player, wife, parent, and entrepreneur, Sloan Stevens. As an athlete and as a person, my journey has had a lot of twists and turns, from moments of adversity and doubt to unimaginable triumph and satisfaction. Throughout the season, I'm joined by some of the biggest names in sports, entertainment, culture, and a few members of my tribe. Our conversations keep it real and push it past skin deep. We reveal the perspectives, routines, and products that allow each of us to show up at our best. Join me on my journey of self-discovery and many, many laughs along the way. Sincerely, Sloan.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hi, I'm Megan Rinks.
And I'm Melissa D. Montz.
And like every other person with access to a microphone, we started a podcast.
On Mondays, we release Don't Blame Me, which is an advice podcast where listeners call in and we share our thoughts on situations such as what to do if you're going to your boyfriend's family function and you haven't told him that you previously slept with both his twin brothers.
Then on Thursdays, we release our podcast, But Am I Wrong?, where we ethically gossip about pop culture, politics, our lives, and your lives. Listeners write in and we tell them if they're wrong or right in a situation. Are you the hero or the villain?
On Tuesdays and Fridays, we throw in a little something extra as well.
Well, something. We strive to create a community grounded in activism, mental health, and inclusivity. Think of us as like your blunt, honest friends who give you advice that you need to hear, not what you want to hear. But we're also always rooting for your success. What we lack in credentials, we make up for in
opinions.
We do that in every episode too.
We're professional unprofessional, so if you're looking for a new slate of podcasts to add to your routine, we're here for you.
Acast recommends.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Minutes on the timer. And the topic is music.
Yeah, Windy, the music has helped you out a lot this week, hasn't it?
Oh, yes. Yeah. So I've had a bit of a difficult week this week. We're in September, end of September. And this, I've got family illness situations going on, mainly my girlfriend's family, to be honest, but it's having a big impact on her and therefore a big impact on me.
Yep.
People I care about are unwell. And it's hard. And my work is really stressful at the moment. And that's hard too. And the thing that's brought me the most light this week, without a shadow of a doubt, was my favourite band releasing their new album. So the band is called Fleet Foxes, but that, I think that's largely irrelevant. Like it's just what I want to talk about is the impact that the music has had on me. And I guess I'd say my mental health, but that feels like, that makes it sound as though I'm suffering from some sort of mental health crisis, and I'm not. I'm just having a tough time. I'm resilient. I'm coping with it. I'm doing okay, but I've been feeling a bit low. And listening to the Fleet Foxes album on repeat, basically since it came out, has just completely changed that. I've always been into music since I was little. My dad is a huge music fan. He's very knowledgeable about music. And so I grew up in a house which was just constantly filled with folk or prog rock or the Beatles. And that has definitely shaped my view of music, my understanding of music and my appreciation for it. But I had a period probably from about the age of 30 to basically just before lockdown where I just stopped listening. I stopped listening to music and I just spent all my time listening to podcasts. And in lockdown, I've kind of changed that. I've flipped it. And while I'm working at home, because I'm not going to be disturbing colleagues, I can put music on in the background. And it's kind of rejuvenated my love for it. And it's been amazing. But Yeah, this album just makes me feel, it takes me away to a happier place. And it, I mean, I think it's their style as well, the nature of the band they are. I literally feel like the sun is shining on me when I listen to them. Yeah. And that sounds ridiculous, but that's how I feel.
I had a similar experience this morning when I was walking Frank, my dog, and Michael Kiwanuka won the Mercury Prize yesterday. And that is my favourite album of the last year, or you watch, probably released over a year ago. A lot, so I lose concept of time when these lockdowns happened and what is last year and this year. I can't remember when it was gone, but when it was released. But I was there, had the same thing. It was sunny, but I was listening to it. And it's such, despite dealing with some really sort of tough subjects, certainly, you know, the world and how the BLM movement and what a lot of black people and people from ethnic minorities are going through currently. So it deals with a lot of that. But it's also such an uplifting album. And I was just listening and found myself feeling not euphoric, but just very happy and content listening to this amazing kind of, I don't know how to describe it, sort of like 70s soul or northern soul. And then there's a bit of indie in there. It's just an amazing, incredible piece of work. But yeah, it's interesting what an impact music can have on your mood, both positive and negative.
What are your main reasons for listening to music? Do you like it as an escape? Do you like it to raise you up, or do you also enjoy albums that tackle tough subject matters and might make you feel
like
sort of negative emotions?
I think probably my most favourite genre is hip hop, and I would say 95% of hip hop is about violence and other things. It's become a little bit more woke or a little bit more conscious in the last decade or so. But by and large, hip hop comes from places where things were difficult for the people that made that music. So people write about what they know, right? So I listen to it, and that doesn't impact me. I just admire the craft that goes into writing bars.
But
of course I listen to all kinds of things. I think what music does, though, it's different. The when I find an album I love and I really love it, it consumes you, doesn't it? You listen to it constantly to the point where you can't listen to it anymore, and that's probably what you had with this album, this Fleet Foxes album. But it's a different type of entertainment than say film. It gives you a different feeling than film does. It's much more personal relationship. And it's more comparable to podcasts, I think, than other forms of media, in that it's a very personal thing usually.
Yeah, it's funny you say that. I mean, I don't know if you've ever had this experience before, but I remember it's happened a couple of times. There's been an album that I've absolutely fallen in love with, really like loved its bits. I've loved every bar of every song, and I've related to them, and the different songs have made me feel different emotions. And then I've played it to someone else, and as we've both been listening to it, I've felt really embarrassed and felt like, oh God, this isn't actually that good. I don't like it because it's good. I like it because it's speaking to me.
Yes.
Have you ever had that feeling?
Yeah, of course. And not necessarily it's good. It's mine's generally is the anxiety that they're not liking it as much as me, and actually they're not relating to this at all, and they don't.
Yeah.
Because it is such a personal thing. And that's why it's best to just, when you're recommending music, is not to sit, just, yeah, have a listen to that. Don't sit down and go, listen to this. Because the person, if they're not completely into it, and you've got your relationship. Like, we had this conversation with T from the Fighting Cop podcast, where he recommends stuff that he knows that I will like. He understands my taste, and he recommends stuff to me. And even though he recommends things to me, and I take him, you know, his word on music, he's got an impeccable taste, and it's very eclectic, right? But he might recommend an album to me, and I won't listen to that album for 4 months, 5 months, and then I'll get to it, and then it clicks. Sometimes it won't click, but then it clicks, and I'll go, T, that was wicked. Whereas I think when you recommend something, you expect them to listen to it and get into it straight away, and it's frustrating. So, you know, it's that personal relationship with the piece of music or a particular album is just that. What I find funny is I try my best not to get angry at anything. The only time I kind of lose control of things irritating me is when I've had a few too many beers and I might be on Twitter and people are fucking me off or something, right? But one thing that always gets to me is if someone has a different opinion about something I really like in terms of music. Like, you know, this argument about Beatles, who's better, Beatles or Queen? Anyone who says Queen is an imbecile, in my opinion. And it really fucks me off that anyone out there can think, even conceive of a world where Queen are a better band than the Beatles. I don't understand it, and it fucks me off. And I think less of people who do think that. And that's completely stupid and irrational, because it's about your personal relationship with these albums, right? Or these bands. But yeah, it fucks me off if people don't agree with my taste in music.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Here's a question for the marketers listening. Want to find that perfect customer beyond the world of scrolling, swiping, and searching? Here's a secret to make sparks fly. Smooth talking with podcast ads. With Acast, you can reach millions of listeners who'll be hanging on your every word. On the train to work, in the gym, or waiting in line for coffee. Start up the conversation with podcast listeners anywhere and everywhere. And they're looking for love. 60% of listeners have a higher trust in brands they've met on podcasts compared to social. Get closer to your audience. Make podcast ads with Acast. Head to go.acast.com/closer to get started.
Yeah, agreed. And just to go back to T, I don't know how he does it, but he is able to he's basically got Amazon's algorithm in his head.
Yes.
He's able to perfectly understand what it is you like in music and recommend something that is just your taste.
It's a gift.
So he recommended to me the album Black Beans by Choosy in Exile, which I've spent a lot of the last 6 months listening to and absolutely adore. He doesn't recommend stuff to me that often. He recommended that. He just knew I'd like it, and he was absolutely spot. He was bang on the money. I don't know how he does it.
Yeah, but if he was recommending stuff every 2 minutes, it would lose it. So what he does is he waits until he finds something that he nails. He goes, right, that's for Windy, that's for Flav. And he does it.
He's got us in little boxes, hasn't he? He knows he's got us.
Yeah,
he's compartmentalized, and he knows exactly who we are and what we appreciate.
It's genuine. It's a gift. It really is. And if you asked him, maybe we should ask him about this shit. But if you asked him, I don't think he'd understand where it comes from. It's just like a gift.
He just knows.
It's something that he's through his experiences has picked up, that he's sensitive to what other people's tastes are.
So you spoke about the craft and appreciating the craft.
Mm-hmm.
What are the first, in terms of the musicality and the instruments, what are the first things you notice when you press play on a new LP?
I used to like, whenever anything folky, just a guitar and usually a male voice. So I'd always look for that kind of stuff. But I don't know. I just feel like if I listen to something and I like it, I just get this feeling inside me and I'm like, this is the bollocks. And actually it's often within the first 30 seconds that I think incredible. Like I keep talking about T here, but he recommended a Freddie Gibbs album, just the latest one he's released. I can't remember what the name of it is now, but anyway, and as soon as I heard it, the first song, I was like, yes, this is quality, and just listened to it over and over again. As it turned out, the response was critical acclaim, so it wasn't like I was onto something that no one else was. But it's just this feeling you get when you listen to something that resonates, and for whatever reason, that did. Actually, Windy, I want to ask you: is there any albums from your youth that you adored, but you listen back to now and think, Jesus, that's not that great?
Yeah, there's a lot. I was really into Britpop when I was I was born in 84, so Britpop hits 94-95, and I was really into Blur and Oasis and the Blue Tones especially.
Hey, you loved the Blue Tones, didn't you?
I really did. I really did. I went to see them, you know, 20 plus times. I absolutely adore them.
Fucking hell, really? Jesus, that's an obsession. Yeah. 20 plus times?
Yeah, I would go and see them every time they played in London or surrounding areas. And I had loads of friends through them as well. So it was great. But I listen back now and some of their music is really good and some of it is not. And there's loads of Britpop bands that I liked at the time and sound horrendous now. But then also, when after the Strokes released their debut album, there were lots of bands, often the bands, who tried to do what the Strokes did, and I really liked them at the time. And I listen back now and think, Jesus, that is absolutely like horrendously bad. There's no redeeming features. Razorlight, for example, Razorlight were really good when they first came out. Nah. I listen to that now; it is awful.
Yeah, shit. And the thing is a lot of that music at that time were these were sing along tunes. They were like, people would kill me for saying that. We were really into indie. Going back to what I said a minute ago about disliking what other people would like and vice versa, but indie for me was going to the Borderline Club with my mates.
Yeah, I love that place.
Getting pilled up and just singing indie tunes in a big room full of sweaty people and hopefully pulling at the end of the night. That was indie for me, and I listened to it and I got into it. But I listen back to it now and it's a lot of it's just shit. It's not even worth.
There's still some nostalgia there. There's some memories, the quality of the music.
Just to say this, I've had to make concedent. Like, I think Oasis are actually a better band musically than people give them credit for. I don't think they get enough credit. I think they think if you're obsessed with Oasis, then you're just some, you know, twatty
pie and mash
kind of guy, whatever. But so that was that's how I remember indie. But my one. Just it was, and I listened to him recently. There's one of my I considered Melancholy and the Infinite Sadness by Smashing Pumpkins as one of like top three albums, and people love it. It's like a classic, right?
Yeah.
I listened to it the other day, and I was like, oh my god, this is not as good as I remember at all. In fact, Bullet with Butterfly Wings is borderline cringeworthy, and I feel bad saying that. Anyone who's a massive Pumpkins fan is gonna hate this. But that's just what I feel right now.
I went to see Smashing Pumpkins not that long ago, maybe it was that long ago, 7 or 8 years ago, and I hated it. I really hated the gig. And I had this, exactly what you said, I was expecting so much because I liked those albums back in the day, but it was so bad, so, so bad. I'm interested as well, you mentioned, you said the word euphoria.
Mm-hmm.
I think, if people have listened to the drugs episode, they'll know I've never taken MDMA, so I've never experienced chemical euphoria. Mm. But I think I have felt euphoria a handful of times in my life. Mm. And a handful of them have been at gigs.
Yeah, definitely, 100%.
And I think being in the middle, so the last time this happened was when I went to see Beach House. They're that kind of band anyway. They're very synthy. The songs tend to build up into a crescendo, yes. In the same way that like Sigur Rós tend to do that. It's there's a point. They bring you along like a wave which you're being carried along on, and then suddenly there's this peak. And I had this really sort of deeply visceral experience at a Beach House gig where I just felt absolutely on top of the world, and I literally, it's so cliched, but I had my head like raised towards the ceiling and I had my eyes closed,
yes,
and I had my arms out and I just felt amazing.
Yeah, well, I had a comparable thing, although I was under the influence. I was on my brother's shoulders. It was a Kings of Leon about 15 years ago concert at Wembley Arena, and I was on my brother's shoulders with my arms out looking at the stage, and they were playing a crescendo of one of their massive songs, like all built up, and I had my arms out and I looked up and there was a camera behind me and I was on the camera on the screen above Kings of Leon in the middle of this crowd with my arms out. It was what, if not probably the best moment of my life. It was incredible.
I couldn't interrupt you because it was too good, but our 15 minutes are up.